Glory, glory,
Christ is mine.
Savior to me.
I'm redeemed.
Happy in glory.
Someday I shall be.
I have been redeemed.
Yes, I'm redeemed
by love divine.
Christ is mine.
All to him.
I now resign. I have been redeemed.
Let's mark our books at number 668. 668 will be the song of invitation. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 255. 255. After this song, Bill, would you lead us in prayer?
Thank you, sir.
I'm pressing on the upward way,
new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I onward press, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost high and catch your gleam of glory bright. Still feel I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we bow before you this evening, thanking you for this day, for the time that we've had, Father, to come and worship you. We pray in spirit and in truth, thanking you for all the blessings that you've given us, for the blessings that we have through your Son, Jesus Christ, for the physical blessings that we have on this earth to live in. We thank you for the church that meets here, Father. We pray that you'll strengthen us and help us to always be around in this community to be the bright light that will shine Jesus to those that are around by us. Father, we're thankful indeed for the country in which we live and for the freedoms that we enjoy. Father, there are those that want to take these freedoms away from us and Help us, Father, to overcome them, and Father, help us to always be able to come and worship you unmolested from the outside. Thank you, Father, for the help that we've had, that we can be here. We pray for those that are sick, those that are undergoing treatments. Father, we ask you to watch over and care for them. Help them in such a way, Father, they can regain their health. Thank you, Father, for the men and women that serve this country to protect it. For the military, Father, we pray that you watch over them and care for them. We're thankful, Father, that those that were aboard the ship that had the explosions were not severely hurt in such a way that death occurred. And Father, we ask you to protect those that are on bases and those that are overseas that are watching for our care. And we ask you, we pray for the Father, for the families, that you comfort them in such a way that they can have peace in their hearts and the hope that their family will be back with them. Father, thank you so much for the men and women that serve in our Congress. We realize, Father, the problems that we're going through with our government. We can only ask, Father, that these men and women look to you for help and for guidance. Father, we pray that some way, somehow, that we can come together as one and Father, to defeat some of these problems that we have. We know that there are enemies out there of America, and Father, help us to defeat them. We ask you, Father, to help us to overcome evil wherever it is throughout the world. And Father, we pray for the churches that are overseas, those that can't be helped at this time, where we can't travel and help them out. We pray that you'll strengthen them, that they'll stand with courage, and Father, that they'll survive this pandemic as well as we, and that we can once again become, have peace in our hearts and have peace in our minds, and Father, to get back to the work of saving souls. Thank you for Robert and Jane that work here. We appreciate the work that they do, Father, and we ask you to give them a good long life, and much good can be done at this place. We're so grateful that we can be here this night, Father, to worship you, to sing songs of praise that are led by Brother Tom, to hear another message from the Word. Father, we're grateful for the time that we spent around your table this day, to remember your Son and his death upon the cross for our sins, and for him bringing the Word to us that we can have a guide to help us, Father, someday have a home with you. We realize, Father, in our lives that we sin, that we're weak, we have problems of our own selves that we would like to overcome and be justified in your sight. We ask you, Father, to forgive us of our sins, help us to overcome our weaknesses, and guide us in the days ahead. Thank you again for allowing us to be here to worship you. These things we ask you in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen.
In 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, we're introduced to the idea of giving in quite a detailed situation, as Paul urged the brethren to give as they would to the good work of the charity and the benevolence that they would care for the brethren over there in Judea. And in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, we read vivid detail in regard to the way that they were to do. As we mentioned this morning about, I did not name him, Uzzah, in the Old Testament of the Bible, in 2 Samuel chapter 6, in reference to his reaching up and grabbing the Ark of the Covenant, there was a situation there that surely shows to us an example of someone who really needed to heed what God had said. In the reading of 1 Chronicles chapter 15, the Levites were to be the ones to bear upon their shoulders the staves for carrying the Ark of the Covenant. The fact that it was placed upon a new cart and carried about brought about a breach of the plan. And as a result, Uzzah assuming that it was going to fall off of that cart, reached up and grabbed him. That was a sad thing done at that day and time. It hurt the heart of King David in that regard. And of course it should have, because it was a time in which, he says later on in the Chronicles, we made a breach against God when we did this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we do not need to make a breach against this giving that we do, although we have it as a monetary gain that we have, prosperity that we have, and has always been there. As we find in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, as I gave order to the churches of Galatia, so do you. Upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. For the needs that was going to be existing there in Jerusalem, and Agabus' prediction that it would take place in the days of Claudius Caesar, it would be the case that there would be in need. And they would be in such need that they would need the assistance of brethren far and wide. And the reminder to them is this. These brethren over there at Jerusalem first thought of your souls over here and reached out spiritual things to you. Now that they are physically in need of material things to sustain life and limb, then you are obligated to help them in that same situation. In return, be assistance to them. It's a good spirit to have in that way of life. But more is said here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 about that. Moreover, brethren, he says there in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit at the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches in their liberality. He says, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying with us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Notice as I stop here that giving is described as a grace that they were doing. They were doing a favor to those who were in need. More than this, they were people who gave beyond their power. The idea that I'll give as I've been prospered in 1 Corinthians 16 was defeated by this statement here when the brethren of Macedonia gave beyond their measure. They gave more than they gave for their daily activities. They did not hold back in fear. And I want to make this particular point. When we find ourselves giving in faith, we are not giving in hesitation. We're not giving in fear. We're not giving afraid that it'll not ever come back. It'll be something that's gone out, and never come back. But something that is a part of our hearts and our souls, so that we will give in that regard of thinking about it. Now, nowhere in the Scripture does it advance the idea that we ought to become like gypsies and find ourselves going from place to place and find ourselves devoid of any kind of income, and thus the jobs that we have and everything are not there, and they would give in such a way that they would be in such need, but that they would give from their prosperity and give from the blessings of which they had faith that they would continue on and be that way. I wonder what that would have a reference to the mind of God in regard to the workplace that they were in. As Christians serving the Lord, would it not be the case that God would pay attention to the things that they had need of financially, that they could do what they could do, and from that they gave, and they gave more. Notice what it says there. How, verse 2, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and of their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. They gave out of deep poverty. It was the case that they could give, and they believed that they could. Notice he says there in verse number 7, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Notice he's noted this thing twice. Verse 6, so he would also finish in you the grace, the same grace also, that they would be people who give in abounding in this grace also. God is involved in our making a living from day to day. After all is said and done, we would remember that our grandparents and parents before us out in the garden place brought this question up to us one time or another. Who's responsible for this okra being so abundant? Who's responsible for these peas being so abundant? Who's responsible for this corn doing the service that it does? Who's responsible for this critter that we're harvesting, presenting to us the protein that he does and the strength that we have? Bringing God into the picture of the things that go on in the garden and in that daily place was a rewarding thing to my mind then and even now. I remember Mama gave me a wonderful statement one day when I was talking about going on into the field, going on into the garden and hoeing away. And that's what we would do. And she said when she stopped and she began to file her hoe, top side and then the bottom side a couple of times, then the top side again and bottom a couple of times, then top side again, she had a sharp, sharp hoe. It would clip those little blades of grass and those little weeds, just clip them off. Well, I got to noticing that my hoe was not as sharp at all. And that what would happen was I was beating the grass down and I was beating the weed down more so than I was clipping it off. And so she said to me one day when I stopped and went back and began to file the hoe, she said, son, says you don't ever lose time when you sharpen your hoe. You don't really lose time when you begin that work and you sharpen your hoe. And I remember that even till yet. And we think about the things that we can do if we do a little preparation for it. A little preparation for giving in this regard. He says in verse number 8 of 2 Corinthians 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. I want to note that Paul is saying, I'm not giving you a commandment as to what amount you are to give. Nowhere in the New Testament of our Bible do we see the tithe idea, the 10% idea that was present on the Old Testament time. The 10% was that which helped them to maintain not only their gift to God, but also their army and the armament that they had to do the battles that they did successfully. Asking God to be a part of their lives. But we must ask God in this regard. Notice what he says in verse 7. In everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love toward us, see that you abound in this grace also. Faith is a great part of our labor with God. A faith in believing that what we give and why we give it, with that spirit in mind, rewards us as we go along in life and blesses the work that we're trying to do. Verse 10, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do but also to be forward a year ago. Notice that a whole year had gone by in their gifts and their ideas. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. In other words, sometimes it's easy for people to make arrangements to make a gift ahead of time. But once that is appropriately done, 52 weeks of the year, and of the time, it amounts up to something. And seeing all that together, to give all that over there to those folks over there, what is the idea of it? And sometime there may be a hesitation on the part of what is now in abundance right there in front of me, rather than continue on as we have the idea in mind. Notice he says about Jesus in this regard in verse 9, "Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he were rich, yet for your sakes became he poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich." The salvation that Jesus came to offer was not offered because he had nowhere else to go and nowhere else to do, but because he was devoiding himself of a place that he had and the great wonders of power that he had to come to earth and carry out the mission that his heavenly Father needed to have carried out. The heavenly Father had a plan that, as it is noted in this regard, "I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have it entered the heart of a man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him." But we have revealed these things in these words which we now speak unto you. And so the word of God delivered by Paul was a word of God delivering the teaching of God for the benefit of everyone. And how that we find ourselves looking at the subject of giving tonight in this particular. Remember what the gift of the Lord is for you and me. The gift of forgiveness from sin. The gift that he would forgive us of the things thought, things done, activities of our lives that were sinful and wicked and wrong and hurtful. He has forgiven us. He's placed them as far as the east is from the west. He has taken them completely away. Our forgiveness is so thorough and so complete. We've got to appreciate what he did for us in the gifts that we give back. Because the giving back to the work of the Lord, really and truly, after all said and done, hardly compares to the gift that he gave to us in the forgiveness and salvation of the soul. What a wonderful blessing he's given us. Now it says in verse 12, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that that a man hath, and not according to that which he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there be an equality." Of course, he's speaking regarding the spiritual teaching that they receive and the physical needs that they now are fixing to meet during this time of famine. And it's going to be an equality thing. It's based on the idea that they gave to you the spiritual benefit and benefits of salvation. And you're giving to them from the standpoint of the need, physically speaking, for their lives. And it is an equality that's involved. As far as God's concerned, it's an equality that's involved. It's not based on the amount that's involved. It's based upon the gift that is given. The willingness to give that. The kind of spirit and mind. That's the faith that we need to have in our hearts and lives as we do this. He continues on. "As it is written, he that hath gathered much hath nothing over, and he that hath gathered little hath no lack. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. What was the spirit of Titus in carrying this gift, this grace, this money to the brethren over there in that region? What was his spirit? His spirit was a way of going over there in thankfulness that they had sent the gospel message that he now knows, the salvation that he now enjoys, the wonderful blessing that he has. He's thankful for it enough that I've got the time, I've got the way, and I can do it. And I'll carry this. And he carried it, and he had honesty now in his heart, forwardness in his determination, the willingness on his part to carry this to the brethren over there, and the time of near need was never questioned by the brethren here at Corinth or by Paul himself in regard to would he get it all there, would he take some of it and carry it out and take a lot of it and put it in his pocket as he went? No. Now I'd ask you this. On the side of Judas Iscariot, could we have trusted him with the same amount to be carried to the brethren in need? Sorry, we can't. He loved the bag. He loved that money. He loved that way. And thus he betrayed Jesus for the 30 pieces of silver. He only realized too late that it was something bad done and took his own life as a result. Verse 18. And we have sent him with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not only that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace which is ministered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things that not in this only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent unto them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, and our brethren inquired of. They are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches and the proof of your love and of your boasting, our boasting on your behalf. He continues in chapter 9, for as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them in Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked many, very many. Yea, have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready, lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me, and find you unprepared, we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, that they would go before unto you, and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty, and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I want to stop here at verse 6 of chapter 9 to note that Paul is bringing back the thought in mind that I mentioned earlier in this lesson. The idea that they could give in such a way, they could give with faith, and they could give with exhortation in such a way that they would find blessings to come their way in return. Now they gave whether that would come back or not. Their spirit of life was that way. But the assurance that they would be rewarded in that regard of giving as they gave, they would receive. is met right there in chapter 9, verse 6. Every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. How ought we to be as people who can give in abundance? Not a fear, not a hesitancy, but a rewarding idea within our hearts. For verse 12, the ministration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. While by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by the prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The brethren here are people who are praised for their great contribution. In this regard, they didn't have a framework of mind hesitating in their gift. It was a faith, it was an abounding faith, it was abounding hope that they had within their hearts and lives, and thus they gave. And this was based upon the fact that they realized a little bit of the grandeur of the gift of God that was given to them. And their salvation from sin was more in their minds than what they gave to the brethren in need. One time more, he comes back to this defense of the gospel and his work. And over in chapter 11, I want you to observe with me, please. He brings up Macedonia again in verse 9. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 9. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was charged but of no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you. And so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do. I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. When this was done back then, his words come out to you and me, even down the stream of time, as we are today reading these words. But what I do, verse 12 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. They love the Lord, they love his way, and they love to be able to give. What a blessing it is to have that in our minds. This song provided tonight to remind us of this idea of God's way and God's favor. And if anybody's responsible to God's invitation tonight, please come as we stand and as we sing this song together.
Jesus, he will save you, though your sins have crimson on the road. Thank you.
Sunday is our third Sunday, and next Sunday being our third Sunday is potluck evening time. And we had a good one last month, and we can have another good one next Sunday night. We look forward to it. God bless you all. Thank you for your prayers this week in regard to our doctor's appointments and things that they may see, and workable plan maybe. Everything will work out for us in a good way. And thank you very much for being here tonight. God bless you all.
Ones that make the decision.